Hello, everyone. Marvin B. here, back with another episode of Podnuts Pro. And as I said, I have a special treat this evening. I am here with the boys from Malwarebytes, Michael and Alex. And if you've been to the Unconvention, especially this past year in D.C., you've seen them there. And you've probably seen them just about everywhere. They have been on a world tour of marketing and advertising and technical demonstrations, all that stuff. So we're going to get right into it. Gentlemen, I'd like for you guys to go ahead and give a quick introduction of yourselves. I don't care who goes first, but tell us who you are and why you're here.
Well, this is Michael Sherwood. Marvin, thanks for having us. We're really actually excited to join your show. We have not been a guest yet. But you're right, we've been on a little bit of a world tour, and what hopefully we'll share with all of your listeners today is some really awesome stuff that we're up to here at Malwarebytes, specifically targeting operations like yours and smaller one-guy or one-gal operations. So I'm Michael. I've been here for a couple of years, and as I mentioned, I lead all of our technician services, so that's all the great stuff we're making for you. I've been fortunate enough to be in this industry for almost two decades, both in the private sector, as well as the military. And I just love technology and I love fixing stuff. And it's what I was kind of put on this planet to do.
That's awesome. Thanks, Mr. Sherwood. So I'm Alex Smith, and I am a technical product manager for Malwarebytes. And I have the unfortunate responsibility of reporting directly to Michael Sherwood. So you can take that as you will. But very similar to Michael, I've been in this industry for a very long time, primarily in the previously now in a more of a retail capacity for about almost 15 years, and then I've been with Malwarebytes for the last couple of years. But I've always been working in the technology support industry, so as it relates to like fixing computers, removing malware, and working with technician tools, that's pretty much what I've done for almost the past 17 years. And kind of been bringing those skills to Malwarebytes, and then hoping to kind of share my knowledge, my experience, and hopefully my skills to make awesome tools and awesome products and services for technicians to use.
All right. So I do want to get a little bit of housekeeping out the way, because you're right, you've not been on this show, and part of that's because my version of this show hasn't been around that long. Podnuts Pro has been around for a few years, usually just a couple of techs sitting around telling stories, reading emails, stuff like that. So I've opened up the doors to try to talk more with vendors and partners and people out in the industry that can help us do our jobs better, smarter, faster. So that's what we're doing here. And I'm hoping to have you guys on a regular basis. But I do want to say that I know you guys, but I don't know you guys. We've been to two Unconventions together. And unfortunately, we've always been doing sessions at the same time. So I don't get the joy of sitting in on your sessions. But I do want to get a little bit of your feedback, because we were at the Unconvention. What did you guys think of, this is the second one we've done. But do you guys like the Unconvention? And what were your thoughts this year versus last year? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, Marvin, I actually made time and came to your session, so thanks for not coming to ours. Just kidding. we really, really enjoy them. You know, if I and probably throughout this whole podcast, you'll hear Alex and I, you know, maybe talk from like a technician point of view and then from a Malwarebytes point of view. So that line's going to get really blurry as I think people learn to work and kind of operate with us. So from a technician lens, I loved it. I thought it was really cool, you know, to meet with similarly or either just starting out, or maybe there was some that were, you know, 15, 18, even 25 years, I think was one of the shops that had been running. And it's just a really unique, different convention. And it's not even a convention. I mean, it's Unconvention for a reason. And it's highly, highly recommended, you know, to anybody out there, especially, you know, when you started hearing stories from Nathan and what he's doing up in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. And, you know, he's just killing it up there, just all little tiny tips that he was able to share with so many of the participants. I know a lot of them took it back and immediately started not only making all of the money that they spent on the trip back, but really actually turning a profit with just some really cool procedural changes that the shops were sharing. So highly recommended in my view.
All right, Alex, any thoughts?
I'm going to echo Sherwood's kind of call outs there. I mean, I the previous conventions to this that I'd kind of been to would probably be more in the Comic Con or Geeky Con type of stuff. So this was kind of my first kind of technical conference, and I loved how it was non-traditional con. Like, you think like you're going to go into a giant room and there's a bunch of vendor tables, and there might be, you know, one speaker that's talking about some crazy stuff. But I kind of liked that you kind of get to get face-to-face time, almost one-to-one time, a lot with technicians and with the speakers. And there was just like so much you could learn and so much you could take in. Like, I actually wish it was another day longer, to be completely honest, because I enjoy it so much. And there was just so much that I could learn, just on what's going on in the industry, what technicians are having problems with. One of the coolest things that I remember from this year was when Mike Smith from I can't remember the show he does, but the Mike Tech Show. And they went on a little bit of a session about what tools do you use, and it was just so cool to hear everyone mention different tools that they use for different things. But the nice thing about it that I kind of took away from it is that I did kind of hear like common themes. Like, when it came to network scanning utilities, everyone had their favorite one. Like, there wasn't just one that everyone used. There was like 20 different ones.
Right.
But they all kind of do the same thing, which kind of leading something here, which is that we might be adding some sort of similar functionality to our tool set that relates to network scanning. But it's because we went to Unconvention and we heard, hey, if everyone is using network scanners and there's like 20 different ones to choose from, maybe we should make one that is better than the others or as good as those and put it in our tool set.
Oh, yeah, maybe something in the works there. So, yeah, let me just go back and reiterate the Unconvention. I think it is a fantastic idea that we do things, you know, unconventionally, where people actually go to a place to engage, not sit in a chair and listen. And unfortunately, I'm usually on the speaking side of it. So we've already had two debriefing meetings. And one of the things that I'm going to do next time is I'm going to be on the listener side and, you know, be able to sit and, you know, glom knowledge from everybody else. And you're right, that is the one conference that, you know, it's not just that you have access to people, like we have access to you guys at Malwarebytes, but we have access to other people doing the exact same thing that we do, struggling with the same struggles and helping each other out. So that's what we're looking forward to. So from there, let's go ahead and start. We're not going to, well, we might, but the plan isn't to get too technical. But from a standpoint of Malwarebytes, from a guy like me, who I've, you know, right now it's back to really just me and a part-time tech and an office person. I've had full-time techs. I go up and down. I've used Malwarebytes, but I guess the question we should really start with is, why should I care about Malwarebytes? I've got virus protection built into Microsoft. I've got protection built into my firewall and appliances, all of that stuff. Why Malwarebytes?
Yeah, Marvin, this is short. I'll take this one, Alex. I think I'd answer this two ways. And before I actually answer the question, I would say, you know, the history of Malwarebytes has been one that is in the community, free, kind of a reactive scanner. And what we've done over the last specifically 3.5 to 4 years is we've said it's, you know, it's time to grow up. And although we've had really good malware protection for many years, we were lacking in some other categories. So we've done a handful of acquisitions, whether it's our anti-exploit technology, our ransomware technology, our Mac, ADW cleaner, JRT. And these were all people that were leaps and bounds ahead of us. And we even still think we're ahead of a lot of the traditional AVs, but these folks were way ahead of us. And so we had to play some catch up that we were protecting against all of those, you know, different aspects. And really cool story is all of those things that I mentioned, you know, were one or two, you know, individual developers that we brought on, and now they're making those specific products for us. So we're really proud to see all that come together in our 3.0 product from last year. And to answer your question on, you know, why Malwarebytes, it's kind of the analogy I use with, you know, my clients, which are my family and my friends. And, you know, I still have a lot of, I'll call them pro bono clients, because I just enjoy doing work so much. But, you know, it's like a house. You know, you've got your traditional locks and security and dogs, and sometimes you need some of that and sometimes you need more of it. And, you know, today's landscape is just, it's not about AV and it's not about, you know, having just a firewall. It's about having the right layered approach. And, you know, for my mom, for example, that's AV, our product. So like a Windows Defender plus our product, and then a pop-up ad blocker, and maybe a little bit of training for her. But for other clients, you know, they need a couple extra layers of security. And, you know, what so often they say, you know, I don't click anything stupid. I don't make any mistakes. And it's just, that's just not a common thing anymore. You can get, you know, legit pages that get infected, or you can get something that you accidentally click on. And it's just, it's really dangerous to be out there kind of nonchalant with a security mindset of 15 years ago.
So here's the slant I'll take from that. Granted, I know why we use Malwarebytes. I know why it's different than the others. But I guess the question I'm going to ask from a standpoint of a technician,
yep,
and mainly from a technician that tries to do everything the right way, and I'll pay the vendors. But so what's the real difference between using Malwarebytes if we buy it from you guys, as opposed to if we just simply use Malwarebytes through one of the other tools, some of them free? Windows Repair Toolbox is one that's out there where, you know, people can just download it, run it, and think that that's good. Or they'll run it through another product, you know, even if you pay for the product. And, you know, I'm going to name names, not because I want to single them out, but because they're good products. I like them, D7 and Tech Suite. And, but is there a difference in running them, you know, through those tools or the free version versus buying a full license from you?
Yeah, so there is. And previous to TechBench, the current iteration of TechBench, you really had our full installer, which is what you're asking. You know, do I have the free one? Do I have the trial one? Do I have the paid one? And I would say, you know, and Marvin, you know me by now, I'm really blunt. Doing any of those three as a technician during the remediation process, you're absolutely wasting time and you're wasting labor and you're not approaching correctly. And what I mean by that is, all of those are installable applications, meaning you've got to put it on your pen drive, maybe you've got to download it, maybe you got to install it, you got to activate it, you got to do all that nonsense. Why not just click a button that says scan? And so with the technician version of Malwarebytes, which is TechBench, you've got a portable scanner. So you just open it up, it does a quick little diagnostic for you within about 3 to 4 seconds, and then you hit scan, and you can start scanning for malware. And so that's the right way to approach it. It's almost like a mechanic, you know, trying to put together a screwdriver before he just turns the screwdriver. Why not just have the screwdriver in your hand and turn it? Much easier way, and will save you a ton of labor in the end game.
So you mentioned the tool set, which I do use. Let me rephrase it. I got it from you guys a couple of weeks ago. I was slow on the bandwagon, and mainly because you know, the listeners will understand. For 2017, I decided I'm not trying anything new. I don't want to have people calling me, asking me to switch or anything like that.
Oh, interesting.
Because I just needed a year to just work on the business. And I didn't want to have to be, you know, changing products and learning something new. So that's kind of why I was slow, even though last year I probably could have jumped on with a lot of the stuff that you provided in beta and gave, you know, gave to us as early adopters. But, you know, it took me a little time, but I like it. And before I talk about what I like about it, why don't you guys give a brief description of it? And because I'm sure there's somebody listening who hasn't seen the tool set. So
yeah, Alex, you want to take us through the Inform scan and so forth?
Yep. Yeah. So the Malwarebytes tool set is kind of, it's a portable all-in-one utility that's designed to help you diagnose, remediate, and repair Windows devices. And that's kind of its focus. And it's going to do that in some cases with a little bit of automation. But ultimately, we want to make sure that it's something that you can put on a flash drive. You don't have to install a bunch of stuff, and it can actually fix computers. So if you launch the tool set for the first time, what will happen is you'll get this thing we call Inform. We kind of see it as almost step zero. And it gives you a real quick kind of high level view of what might be wrong with a computer. So you know kind of what you need to dive into, or maybe draw attention to something really critical first before you start getting into that malware scan or issue scan, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But it's kind of that first step. And what's nice about the Inform capability is it literally takes about 9 seconds for it to run, and it gives you a lot of detailed information. And sometimes it's something as simple as, hey, it's going to be able to tell you what version of Windows you're running, when was that Windows installation installed, do you need the firmware embedded product key, that stuff's there. Or it might draw attention to things in the boot history, which I heard supposedly you'd like that feature, Marvin. It's one of my favorite features too. So for those of you that are new to our tool set, the inform capability will actually read in the boot history of the computer and tell you the last several times that the computer rebooted or shut down improperly, why that happened, which is really kind of cool to kind of see that stuff. So maybe, you know, the customer says, oh, my computer's been shutting down or doing some weird behavior. You could go in there and immediately see, oh, wait a minute, the last several shutdowns were due to power related events, or they were unexpected events. Like, it just gives you some basic information to kind of start diagnosing or figuring out what's going on.
Let me stop you right there. Cause yes, that is one of the features I like, because what it does is it does something where I like to figure out if somebody's lying to me.
You know, I know what you mean.
Because if they're telling me, oh, it shuts down all the time, and you know what, I can just open this up and, okay, so it shut down twice in the last week. Really?
Marvin, you would love the battery feature that's on the screen as well. So all these things we're talking about do come up within that, you know, 8 to 9 to 10 second range. The battery feature is one of my favorites, where they say I'm not able to, you know, store power, but you can see right there not only what the current charge is, but more importantly, what the capacity is of that battery. You can make a call within a second, whether or not you need to replace that battery, or as we like to say, the customer is fibbing a little bit.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry, Alex, didn't mean to jump there, but.
No. That's totally fine. And I like it. If you need to interject on that type of stuff, please do. Like, I like that type of back and forth. But diving back into Inform, I mean, it's that quick diagnostic thing that can kind of help you identify some issues right off the bat. And like I said, it's kind of step zero. It's kind of where you start things off. And then kind of based off of that and based off the symptoms the client gave you, we kind of recommend you go to the next step, which is scan. And right now, today, the way the scan module works is that you have a malware scan and an issue scan. And the malware scan is literally running a portable version of our Malwarebytes anti-malware engine. So all you do is you click scan for malware, and it's going to start scanning for malware for you and give you the option to actually remove everything it finds. And we actually took a slightly different approach compared to our traditional Malwarebytes products. So when you actually scan with our malware scanner, when it finds things, rather than kind of give you a count of here's how many, items were found, because you'll see like a lot of anti-malware software will say like it found 7,000 things, but really those 7,000 things roll up into like 3 or 4 infections. That approach, the more technician approach, which is we'll say we found 5 infections, and then underneath them you can break it down and see all the different subcomponents that kind of make up that infection. So we kind of report back a true, like, here's how infected this machine was, here's the malware we found, and here's all the subcomponents that make up that particular infection. So that way you can make a much more intelligent call on removing that and get a much better idea of what is actually there.
Right. So 2 quick questions. You said that it runs a portable version. Now let's kind of ask the question, does portable mean watered down?
No.
No, this is Sherwood. No, it actually means completely the opposite. So what your question before, Marvin, where you said, you know, what is different between this and what my clients may get, and the first off, the engines are exactly the same. It's kind of how we build our product. It's I'll say SDK, but it's essentially an SDK that we can bring to life in a variety of different fashions, whether it's the MB2 or MB3 product or the tool set. So that's at parity. What's different is the way in which we expose, license, and make the engine work for you. So one, the license is just included, you know, inside of your TechBench partnerships. There's no worry about how many seats do I have or how many times can I run it. Alex and our technicians, like, we just know you guys don't want to be bothered with that.
Absolutely.
Second, it's portable, so you don't have to install it or do any of that. And then third, we actually kill all of the processes that are unnecessary. So we keep things like your remote sessions open, the tool set open, so that you're actually cleaning with the most amount of free resources and without anything else kind of impacting that. And what you'll see later this year is some other really cool integration. So maybe ADW Cleaner will be brought into that, and you'll see the industry's first scanner with 2/3 technologies all in one single button click from us.
Oh. I see.
There we go.
Crystal ball.
And Sherwood, thank you for calling it the process killing, because that is definitely something that's actually unique to our utility that you can't get from the traditional Malwarebytes program or any other, I would imagine, program that's using Malwarebytes software in some fashion. And we kind of worked with the people that made JRT and ADW Cleaner, as well as, you know, just smartly looking at what processes should you or should you not kill on a Windows machine. And they went, okay, if I'm a remote technician, what processes do I not want to close out because I use remote software? And that's it's built-in feature. You can completely configure it too. So in case you have some sort of specialized software, that is not caught by our normal whitelist, you can actually add it to it. And it's really nice because it on an infected machine, it's going to kill all those processes and make that malware scanning much, much, much faster.
All right. So you also mentioned the identifying of infections versus non-infections, because, you know, the biggest issue right now is the pups, where, yep, you know, they're not really infections. They're more annoyances, and they're potentially unwanted, but if you installed it, then you must want it. So how much of a distinction is made for pups in that list?
It's good you brought that up. So not only do we roll up the actual like individual components that make up an infection, but as it relates between malware and pups, they're two separate categories. So we make it extremely clear, this is the malware category and this is the pup category. So it's very easy to distinguish when you get the results back, like these are pups, this is my actual malware that's on there.
Okay. I realize that, because when I run the scans, you have the two, they are really split.
Yep.
And, you know, the pup slits, of course, is super long because it is just about every program on your computer. All right. What else?
So after you run a malware scan, and, you know, remove the malware that's found, we recommend a reboot after that. It's always a good recommendation after you do any sort of malware removal. The next component that we will eventually build into kind of a more automated process that kind of Sherwood was kind of hinting at there is running our issue scanner. And the idea behind the issue scanner is to find things that are wrong with a Windows device. Primarily, it's focused on the Windows operating system and any sort of hardware that we can talk to and interact with that's connected through that device. What we're doing is basically hitting up all these different aspects of the operating system so that you don't have to dig through the registry, you don't have to dig through Event Viewer, you don't have to find a utility that reads the smart logs of a hard drive. We're going to do all that heavy lifting for you and then bubble up those issues and present them to you in the best fashion that we can. In some cases, we're going to offer to automatically do the repair for you. And for those things where we can't really repair it, like say like a failing hard drive, we're going to just kind of let you know about what the problem is and all the errors we found, so that way the technician can kind of make the right call as far as what to do. This is kind of our unique kind of engine. It's not like our traditional malware engine. So it's something that's unique to our tool set that you can't get anywhere else. And it's one of my favorite things. And some people have kind of drawn parallels between it, and I'm not going to mention the specific program, but we'll just say those programs that are out there that, you know, you've got a bunch of errors and you're trying to fix Windows problems. So you click all those check boxes and hit go and pray and hope you fix some stuff. We kind of took a different approach and said, well, let's find out if that problem actually exists before we offer the right fix. And when we say offer the right fix, we spent the time to actually profile every single Windows operating system, every single version, every single edition. So rather than having to like rely on some registry file that someone made 5 years ago and hope that it still works in Windows 10, we're going to have the actual registry information with the right permissions, the right values, and the right settings for that particular operating system. So if we find a missing default service entry in the registry, we're replacing it with the actual what's supposed to be there for that version of Windows.
All right. Okay. I want to go back to the smart errors on the hard drive.
Yep.
So when I got my version, that was the first thing I went looking for. And it was probably, I spent 10 minutes trying to go through, and I just want to find the hard drive checker. I looked, and I finally went like, okay, well, let me just go through and do all the clicks. And I finally went through and ran everything, ran the issue scanner. Oh, there it was. So I know there was a huge discussion at the unconvention about hard drive errors. I've seen some articles, and I know that being able to detect hard drive issues, it's a bugaboo for a lot of people. I don't want to say how different is yours, because you're just saying you're pulling the actual smart errors. The other tools we have, they don't really pull the errors. You just get a nice green or a red or a yellow. You know, hello, yellow. Do I change you or not? What's behind the hard disk check? And I mean, is there ever going to be a button where I can just go through and, you know, hit hard drive check by itself? Or is it always going to be part of the issue scanner?
So I'll answer that last part of that question first, because your beginning of your story was how you couldn't find it at first, which we've heard that before. So we will, in a future release, actually add the ability to do that smart scan from the Inform screen, because when Inform loads, it shows you like hard drives on the first pane there.
Right.
So I think it would make a lot of sense to have a smart scan button right there.
Yes,
so you'll see that in a future release. Because I think that's where it will live, but it will also always live as part of the issue scan. So in case someone missed that, they didn't run it, they didn't see it, we want to make sure that we draw attention to it. Because as Sherwood's mentioned, we used to be technicians, and there's nothing that annoyed me worse than spending hours in a machine only to find out that the hard drive is failing.
Right.
You spent all this time, and then this is what actually ends up being the problem. And that's kind of why we went after doing some sort of hardware diagnostic capability. And so we started to try to do some research of finding out, well, what's out there, what do other people do, and what's the right approach to take? And what we found out is, I don't know if you've ever heard of a company called Backblaze.
Yes, I have.
But Backblaze, they do a lot of data management. They do a lot of data backup stuff, and they have huge, huge, huge data centers. Well, several years ago, they started having problems with hard drives, right? Because they have to replace them all the time because they're a data company.
Right.
So they started to do some research and do some actual tracking of finding out, like, how can we predict when a hard drive is going to fail so that way we're replacing it as soon as possible? And when, you know, how can we predict when it might actually fail? Or, you know, are there any sort of indicators that would help us out here? And they started to find out that there's just not a lot of good tools out there, but they did find out that the smart diagnostics that are built in the hard drive are actually pretty accurate in helping you identify potential failures that might happen. And so they started to log every time a smart error happened on a hard drive, and then log when did that hard drive actually die. And they have, I'm talking hundreds of thousands worth of data points, and they found out what the top like five smart errors are. And when you see one of these, it's like, this is bad. If you see this error, this drive will die. It's not a matter of if is it dead now, it doesn't need to be replaced right now. It's literally, this is going to fail at some point in time. And so we actually met with the Backblaze people to kind of talk some more information, get some more information about all their data and kind of how they put everything together. But we use that as the basis of to find out, okay, now we know what type of things we need to go after. We need to be able to read that smart attributes table. We need to be able to read those smart errors and present them to the technicians. And so that's kind of what we did. And we found out that you can actually pull that information rather quickly. And it's a standard. So as long as the hard drive controller supports us talking to it, we'll grab that information and present it to technicians. And it literally just takes a couple of moments to do. And that can save a whole lot of time.
Absolutely. And I was just going to ask, was getting this issue scanner as part of Malwarebytes because of the fact that as technicians, like you said, nothing worse than spending hours working on a problem to find out that the stinking hard drive was the issue. Is that sort of the catalyst for bringing all of those issues into Malwarebytes? Because let's be honest, the history of Malwarebytes has just been malware.
Yeah, and this is Sherwood. So that's a really interesting kind of scenario that took place here. So our founder, Marcin, you know, if you go back to how we kind of started this is, you know, he was on the forums making utilities, and that kind of turned into some initial about Buster and some, we'll call them smaller fixes. This is back in like 06, 07, 08. And then that eventually turned into Malwarebytes. And then they had a business product. They made their first technician version, which was, interestingly enough, another portable version. And then they built some more products. They built a third version. And when he approached me a couple of years ago, he said, hey, you know, you're doing some really interesting stuff in this technician world. I feel like we're lacking, we being Malwarebytes. And he said, would you be willing to, you know, come out here, join us and really just revamp what we're doing for technicians? And I did. I'm really, really glad I did, because it was such a great opportunity to give back to the people who built Malwarebytes. And instead of just saying, hey, here's some cheap copies of Malwarebytes, or, you know, here's this little script that does malware, we said, what can we really put together that says, one, we're in it with you, but two, to thank everyone for really putting Malwarebytes where they're at today. So yeah, we wanted to make the Malwarebytes engine portable, and yeah, we wanted to, you know, acquire these great utilities and then make them part of the family. But we also wanted to do stuff that meant a lot to people like Alex, you, Marvin, and myself. When you're fixing computers, you just don't want all that other nonsense. And we're not trying to replace every tool out there. That's definitely not our end game, but we are trying to replace and upgrade kind of the technician experience. And we think we can do that through some tools and some automation to make your guys' life easier.
Well, okay, I'm going to break format here. I apologize. But yeah, you made a point that I think I want to dive into just a little bit. And it goes back to what I was saying about I didn't want to be bothered in 2017 with, yeah, you know, looking at other stuff. But one of the things that I've noticed is the ability to have as many tools in one place as possible is really starting to be something that I want to do. I don't want to have to go to 5 different dashboards to see all my customer information. And that's, you know, the solo tech in me that still lives and the MSP in me that wants to be able to do as much as possible to the masses. So I don't mind that you're bringing other stuff into the Malware's tool set. I think that, like I said, the less I have to look at, but the more I can do with it is a goal that I really want to strive for.
Yeah. And that's, you hit it right on the head of what we're trying to do. And the, you know, the Inform is such a great idea to kind of take to the next level of, you know, I don't want to run a 15 or 20 minute diagnostic when I go to my mom's house for Christmas this year on every one of her devices. And I'm going to have to do that. But instead, what I can do is I can flip up Inform, and it'll come up and say, hey, this one's got a bad battery. It's, you know, set capacity. Great. I know exactly what to do. Or I can run the hard drive scanner, and I don't even need to bust out any of those other tools. I can just say, here's what I need to do. And the analogy that I've been using with some shops is, you know, like a hospital. You go into a hospital, you have a bunch of people come in that all have a headache. And for some reason, some people say, let's go right into brain surgery. So they get really deep in the registry and they start doing all these things. And come to find out, they just need a little bit of, you know, rest and some Tylenol, and they would have been just fine. And what I think is lacking is that first initial triage. We've got some good general practitioners, got some good specialists, we've got some great brain surgeons, that's all of you, but we're missing that first step zero. And that's what we're trying to do with this, to help you get off on your first step in a little bit well-informed kind of decision than you are today.
All right. Sorry, Alex, I didn't mean to hijack you there, but I just... sometimes I hear something, I gotta say
go with it.
Yeah,
that's good.
And I was actually gonna, you kind of mentioned that single pane of glass idea. Well, Sherwood's right. Like, we're not out to replace absolutely every tool in your tool belt. We are definitely of the mindset of trying to make a singular interface, so to speak. And I don't know if you've dove into it just yet, but if you go into the toolbox area of our tool set, which houses a bunch of built-in OS utilities, the ability to install Malwarebytes, and then one other item that I'll talk about here in a minute, but it has this really cool feature called My Tools. And the idea of My Tools is that for those tools that, or those, we'll say batch files, scripts, or other third-party utilities that we don't, you know, provide similar functionality for, you can integrate into our user interface. So you can kind of get that single pane of glass that you're used to seeing in the MSP world in a tool set-like environment.
I will say that I've been over there, and I don't want to linger over there too much right now. I'm not a script guy, nope. You know, so it's not like I'm going to be like trying to import all my tools and script stuff and things like that. It's, you know, that's just me. But I know that that's probably a big thing for a lot of people. My thing really is, and I'm way off my outline right now.
That's all right.
But, you know, and I know that one of the questions that I asked at the unconvention was, you know, integration with my RMM platform. And you kind of told me, yeah, well, don't ask about that just yet. Something's coming, maybe, blah, blah, blah. Look over here at our, at the stuff we're doing now that's really good. Because that's really, from my perspective, I like the tool set in that, yeah, it's something portable. I can plug in, look at a machine, get a whole bunch of information without having to go to my system information tool, my hard drive scanner, my utility to look at log files. And I mean, all of it's right there. But from my perspective, and like I said, I'm kind of half in the solo tech man in the van persona and the managed services. How can I add it to my dashboard so I can click it from without having to leave, sort of a thing. So I see them working. Well, let me let you go on, because I don't want us to lose track of where we are, because I think somewhere I'm going is going to come up later.
Yeah, so we'll talk. You're right. When we talk a little bit about our endpoint protection product, that's going to have a little bit more of what you're looking at there. But I will say that definitely bringing functionality of what our tool set does to some of our other cloud products is definitely something that we're going to be interested in doing in the future. Not right now, but it's definitely something we're keen on doing, and it's on our long-term roadmap to make happen.
All
So.
right. Okay, back on track.
Back on track. Oh, go
And
ahead.
Marvin, for that, we're super transparent on this too. Is we're doing some stuff really well, and then other stuff we've got some catch up to do. And you know what you'll see the toolset and TechBench team, our team doing is we may be doing stuff a little bit out of kind of traditional scope of what maybe you would expect from Hourbytes. So you'll see things like a portable scanner with three or four of our technologies versus just one. You'll see some hardware stuff. So we may be breaking the rules a little bit over here. Either one getting modernized with some of the MV3 engine stuff that you saw, or our cloud product that launched this year. So when those products are ready to consume our stuff, we are definitely interested in doing that. But they've got enough on their plate right now to make sure that we're delivering to folks like you what works for your MSP, what works for your managed dashboards, as that's our priority one for those teams.
Well, and let me try to, give a little caveat in. I do like companies that stay focused on what they do good and not lose sight of that. So I do like the fact that, yes, you acknowledge some of the shortcomings and some of the areas that, yeah, we'll look at getting to that, but stay with what got you here. Stay with what works and keep it good, because I've seen companies where, they're really good at one thing, but then they try to do two, three, four, and five, and the number one thing that they were good at just kind of went out the back door and disappeared. I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, Marvin, that's our founder Marcin had that concern as well. So what you kind of see if you ever visit our offices here, which you're always welcome to join us in
That's
cloudy Northern California here. We we're kind
I
of a
got sunny beach
specialized,
here.
sectioned off team, so we are definitely not, going to be interrupting what's happening with the larger Malwarebytes engine. And you're right, we want to stay focused on malware and security products, whether it's our endpoint protection or our, consumer version that you see in the MV3 that's out there today. And we kind of do our own thing over here, swoop up their great innovations that they're doing, but then we also bring some technician things to life that will not affect our daily business.
All righty then. All right, Alex, back on track.
Yep, there's just one more thing I wanted to talk about with the tool set, which is something that you may have played with. Hopefully you have. It's we just recently added the Malwarebytes anti-bundleware beta scanner to the tool set, which probably a lot of the listeners have never heard of before. And you can only get it right now if you're part of the TechBench program and have access to the tool set. But it's a portable scanner as well, designed to find software that may have come pre-bundled in your machine, or maybe came bundled with another installer. So kind of that stuff that's not necess that's kind of like a pup, but not quite a pup. It's kind of that weird in-between phase. So this kind of we'll do a quick scan, and it lists everything by what we call kind of a bundleware rating of how severe we think it needs to be removed. And what's interesting is that it's all crowdsourced. So as this tool continues to be used by technicians and they find things and remove things, the more often it gets removed, the higher it goes in the rating scale. So it's a kind of a really unique little tool that's new to our assortment, and it's something that we brought to technicians first to be able to play around with. And this portable scanner version of it is going, from what I understand, will continue to be a technician-only component. So you'll only be able to get it through the tool set for right now.
Nice, nice. And just to let you know, yes, I saw it. I've used it. I like it.
Good. We all felt the same way. When I remember when I got to see it for the first time, what was it, about a year ago, and the incubations lab team showed it, and it was just really, really, really cool. So I was blown away by it, and I'm glad to see that other technicians are enjoying it too.
All right. So, okay, great. So you've hit on all the things I thought were cool. The fact that it's portable, the boot history, the issue scan, and I did have listed here anti-bundleware scanner. That's what it's called, right? Yeah, anti-bundleware scanner. So those were the key things.
Cool.
So some of this is still in beta. Is there a time frame as to when it might be out of beta, or?
On the anti-bundleware part, I don't have an ETN when that component will be out of beta, but we consider the tool set itself kind of out of the beta phase. It's, we kind of consider it an official tool set. But I will say that we're constantly evolving it, and we're trying to make sure that we have new builds and new features coming out every month. So the what you see in the tool set's going to change and continue to grow very rapidly. So you'll see a lot of cool stuff coming real soon. And I consider it a finished product, but like most finished products nowadays, like we're always wanting to bring in new stuff. So you'll continue to see innovations in this space.
Okay. So how many things in here besides the anti-bundleware scanner are technician-only features? So that, because here's the thing, I had a customer come to my office the other day and had a little network issue, and I couldn't help him remotely, and I told him to bring it in. So I pulled out my USB portable, stuck it in, took me about 2 minutes to run my network fix, and of course he's like, I want one of those boxes. And I said, well, this box probably cost about $5,000 with all my tools and stuff like that. So I know that if I run this in front of somebody, they're going to want to look at it and say, well, can I get that? So how much of this is only technician type stuff?
Yeah, I take that, Alex. So all of this is technician stuff currently. So what we've done is we've really tried to be very liberal with our licensing and how you join TechBench and what it costs and all of that, because we're not out to sell this for $5,000 or something like that. We're out to give you some tools to help you to serve your clients. And the question we get is on some of the forward looking kind of applications that we have. So the tool set, that's technician only. The portability, that's technician only. But some of the what we call early access stuff, that would be the anti-bundleware. And we have actually a couple more in there as well. That's part of the TechBench program. And what we do there is we release early previews of software, sometimes alpha, sometimes beta, and we let techs play with it for a while. And for example, the anti-bundleware, we've got a real-time protection module that maybe someday when we feel comfortable with it, that would just become a feature inside of regular Malware Bytes 3. So that would be something that the client could certainly use. The scanner, we think we are going to keep that on the technician side. Another really cool tool we've got right now is we actually have a tech support scam blocker. It's kind of what we called it beta. That's what we called it on our beta terms, but it's a Chrome plugin right now, Malwarebytes anti-scam, available for TechBench members only. And maybe at some point, once that matures and it's on other browsers, we'll introduce that to some of our clients. And even later this year, we're going to have another app ready to go, hopefully before the end of the year, and it's on a completely different platform that you've never heard from us before. So we're really excited, and for sure, our TechBench members will be the first people to get that as it comes hot off the presses here.
All right. Okay.
Yep. And I would say specific features, if you're looking for that are in the tool set that's unique, obviously everything that Inform does, like our regular Malwarebytes product, isn't going to do. The issue scanner is unique. The smart scanning capabilities, that's all unique. And like Sherwood mentioned, all the other things like anti-bundleware, that's going to be unique for technicians as well. So a lot of pretty much almost the entire tool set is, except for the anti-malware scanner. Obviously, that's based off of the same anti-malware scanner engine that's in the traditional product. So that's really the only thing that a consumer would have access to.
All right. Well, good. So at least I know that I show somebody this while I run a scan on their system. They're not going to go run and try to go. Well, I guess they could. I mean, they could spend the, you know, the hundreds of dollars if they want, or pay me just less than hundreds of dollars to fix their computer.
True, but we actually do a vetting process actually to make sure that people that are signing up for a program are actually tech shops and they're actually businesses. So they'd have a hard time getting to it.
Okay, great. So I guess I passed.
You did.
Okay. All right. So let's move from the tool set. I think like I said, you guys have been on a world tour, so I'm sure most of my listeners have either seen the tool set or are using the tool set. But let's go to something I think that's more suited for what I was hinting at earlier. That's more of a product that can be, you know, managed. And I'm assuming it's all in the cloud, the endpoint protection. Am I correct in that? Okay. Now, I've looked at it. I've not used it. So why don't we start with, give me the pitch for the endpoint product protection.
Sure. Do you want me to take that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the idea of the Malwarebytes endpoint protection is kind of twofold. So if we step back just a little bit and talk about kind of the history in our business line of products, traditionally what we did with the business line is we made a manageable version of our consumer products. So what we used to call Malwarebytes endpoint security, which included Malwarebytes anti-malware for business, Malwarebytes anti-exploit for business, and Malwarebytes anti-ransomware for business, but also gave technicians, I wouldn't say technicians, but we'll say IT admins the ability to manage those applications through a Malwarebytes management console. But that was an on-premises solution. So it's something that you had to set up, you had to deploy in order to manage those applications on your endpoints. So what we did is that obviously we saw Malwarebytes 3 come out last year, which integrated the anti-malware engine, the anti-exploit program, the anti-ransomware program into one singular product. So part of the endpoint protection is to bring that technology to our enterprise and business users by making it into an agent-based product that's going to have that kind of singular endpoint software that has all of our latest technologies rolled into it. The other part is we wanted to, you know, kind of move forward where as it concerns to managing devices and endpoints and managing that actual endpoint agent. And rather than go with an on-premises solution, we're moving to a cloud-based solution. So when you hear Malwarebytes endpoint protection, it's kind of two things. It's the migration of all of our products going into one, so having that Malwarebytes 3 experience in the business world, plus being able to manage it and deploy it via the cloud. So the endpoint protection agent is powered by the Malwarebytes cloud, and that allows you to kind of log in, see all the endpoints you have the endpoint agent installed on. You can set up groups, you can set up special user accounts to access the cloud console. You can set up specific policies so that the endpoint agent acts differently for different endpoints or even different endpoint groups. You can get detailed reports of what's been infected, what's been removed. You can get detailed alerts. So the idea behind it is to kind of give enterprises as well as businesses the ability to manage their endpoints from a security standpoint using Malwarebytes products. And the nice thing about it is it's a singular pane of glass and the user interface is very familiar feeling like our other Malwarebytes products. So first time you log into it, you'll go, wow, this looks very similar to what I'm used to seeing from Malwarebytes. Same colors, same basic user interface layout. So that way things don't feel disjointed at all. It feels kind of like you're right at home. And I know right now that, you know, there's cool graphs that it does. There's going to be some more detailed reports coming in a future release, because I know that we've gotten some feedback about wanting more reports, more detailed information, and we're going to bring that into the Malwarebytes kind of the cloud platform. And right now it's more focused towards enterprise and business, but eventually we'll have a version of it that'll kind of support an MSP based solution. You could use the endpoint protection to do an MSP-like delivery method. What you would do is basically take what we pretend they're your clients and your businesses, and you'd roll up their endpoints into groups. You could do it that way, but it's not 100% set up to be truly MSP friendly, probably from what you're used to doing, but it can do it. But right now we're focusing on business and enterprise, kind of like how Sherwood mentioned earlier. We want to make sure that like we're getting this experience perfect first before we start to bring in the other components.
Okay, so just on that point, you talked about the MSP style of, let's just say, deployments, because I saw on the website that it does say that you can use it, it'll say discover network endpoints and perform deployments quickly. So is that when you say on-premise, is there a, you know, server component that you're talking about installing that will do that, or how does it do it on a single network?
Yeah. So there's actually a utility that's built into the cloud platform. So when it goes to the deploying endpoints, there's actually a kind of a dashboard pane on the cloud console that you can do different types of deployments on, depending on how you want to do it. You can just straight up deploy the endpoint agent directly from the cloud console, or we have a device discovery, network device discovery utility there that will actually scan for available endpoints on your network and then give you the option to deploy the software to those actual endpoints.
So as long as you're on a station or server on that local network, it will deploy to that local network.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there's an entire administrator guide that goes over how the entire process for it. But yeah, we kind of support both methods. I just need to download it on the singular endpoint right now. You can do that. You can download the installer, put it on a flash drive in case you want to do it that way. But we also have a network deployment utility if you want to do it over an entire network. So we support all methods.
Okay. Because I want the network, because I got a client with 185 stations. I am not going station to station to deploy this. What about, does it work over things like VPNs, VLANs, that sort of stuff, or is it just one local subnet?
I mean, as long as that endpoint has access, if we're talking about just the
like
endpoint
a domain, software. No. Yeah, like a domain that's connected three offices. They're connected through VPN, but you know, they're not all on the local subnet. So, you know, a 1.1, a 2.1, a 3.1.
Gotcha. Yeah, this actually reports back up to our cloud platform. All the endpoint agent software does. That's where all the management is actually happening. It is on the actual internet itself. So as long as those endpoints have access to the internet, you're going to be fine.
Okay.
So they could be on different VPNs. They can be on different subnets. It's not really going to care as long as it can talk back to our cloud management system.
Okay, so in January, Malwarebyte endpoint protection will be one of my first things to look at. All right, mark it down, gentlemen. We'll regroup afterwards.
I'll be at your door, Marvin, hanging out.
Okay. We'll be waiting for you. Yeah.
Just kidding, we won't do that.
All right. So what else about the endpoint protection? So we've talked about doing the single pane of glass. We talked about the deployment. And again, from my perspective, what is this doing from my perspective that's different from what a customer can do from, you know, like I said, if I've got a law firm that I want to go to them and say, hey, look, let me put Malwarebytes on for everybody. And they're going to say, well, we can just buy it ourselves. What can I tell them that's different that I can provide for them that they can't do themselves?
So I would say the part that you're going to be able to do for them is kind of the managing the experience for them. So this is going to manage the alerts, the actual malware removal side of things, so that you, the technician, or you, the IT admin, depending on who's deploying this, is actually kind of managing that experience. You get the alerts. You're kind of handling it. If you find out that an endpoint's been infected, it gives you the opportunity to now reach out to that business and go, hey, we just cleaned up this endpoint. Depending on what the infection was or depending on what it was, you might recommend some additional services that you offer to do maybe some sort of data backup solution or something like that. So it kind of gives you that ability to reconnect with the customer, so to speak, if you need to offer additional services, which obviously they wouldn't have been aware of if they're running the software by themselves. Plus, you know, everyone feels like that they can run, you know, anti-malware software themselves. But what if that person has a question? Well, if they have a question, who are they going to go to? Usually they go to someone like you. But if you're managing that solution for them, you're already going to know about it. You're already going to be ahead of the game, so to speak.
All right, great. You had mentioned earlier about the fact of people asking about reports. Am I to assume these are like reports you can give to the clients and say, hey, for the last month, this many scans were run. This is what was found. This is what was protected. Are those the types of reports, or what else could you guys be looking at?
Yeah, so right now, the reporting mechanism that's in there is more aimed towards informing the IT admins and the users of the cloud management console around the health of all the endpoints that have been on there. So okay. It's more around that reporting right now, but you're going to start seeing some of that reporting that's talking about where, you know, whether it's for CDP or some sort of, you know, data privacy situation, you're going to start seeing some additional reports where they can share some of that reporting to the end user, to a client, to a CEO, right. Stuff like that. You're going to see some more reports coming in future builds that's more aimed towards that.
All right. Okay. I didn't have many questions about that because I haven't used it. So is there anything I missed there?
No, you kind of definitely hit it on the head. It's definitely worth playing with it if you haven't played around with it. And if anyone is listening and they have not used it, we do offer trials of the endpoint protection product. So you can kind of play around with it, get to learn to use it. So you can sign up for a trial on our website. Or if you're, you know, a tech shop that's looking to find out more about it, you can reach out to us at techbench@malwarebytes.com, or you can sign up to join the TechBench program, and we can definitely talk about options for deploying and offering endpoint protection licenses as well.
Okay. Now, I think if I remember correctly, the purchasing options you've got right now up to 99 seats, and then anything above that, does it say call us on the website? Or something like that.
It does. It does say that. So we do have a bit of a self-service option where you can purchase your own licenses up to a certain amount if you want to go that route. But anything above that, we have a dedicated kind of sales staff for those larger deployments and for those larger sales. So that's kind of how it's set up right now. But if you're a TechBench member, you can deal directly with myself, Sherwood, and Sammy on our team. He's our actual sales manager, and we can work with you on pricing and figuring out what works for you.
Yeah, because I got more than 99.
Well, good. You just send me and Sherwood an email, and we'll get you taken care of.
All right. Now, can there be a bundling? Because right now, because I've got the tool set, and then I want to buy the licenses for the endpoint protection. So is there like a little, you know, package discount that I can get, or is that part of the call me?
So Sherwood, maybe you can touch on that, because I know that we've been kind of talking about those different package ideas.
Yeah. So the lines are really blurry right now, Marvin, in the, you know, what shops are doing. Are they break fix? Are they MSPs? Are they subscription services? And so what we said is we just want to meet you where you're at. So a lot of our shops are really still, I'd say like 60-40 is usually what we hear. They're break fix and then 40 kind of managed. So if you've got, you know, 40% of your clients that are on some sort of managed, or maybe in your case, you've got all of them on managed, what we're trying to do is make sure you get the licenses that you need, and then we'll figure out everything else kind of secondarily. So for example, if TechBench is something you're looking to join right now, it's $349 a year. You get the tool set. It's you know, in an unlimited fashion with quotes around it. We let you really just use it really unlimitedly. And if you want to buy some NB3, you know, endpoints to make up that $349, or it's a mix of endpoint protection, we don't really care. We're looking to do business with whatever you're looking to do business with your clients, and easy call to us. We'll get that solved.
Well, the $349 doesn't scare me, but buying 454 endpoint protection licenses at one time may.
Absolutely.
Depending on what the credit card looks like that month. So we'll have to chat about that.
Yep.
All right. So I did give you guys my full disclosure, right? That I like Malwarebytes, but I haven't been fully on the boat. I've kind of, you know, got a foot kind of in the water where I can still touch the beach and get back if I want to.
Yeah.
Crickets.
I didn't know if there was more there. If we were to push you out of the boat, or what was our role?
I had an analogy that was just going oh so wrong. You guys didn't help me at all. Awesome. So I think we've hit, well, at least all the critical mass type stuff with the the Malwarebytes, the TechBench tool set, and the endpoint protection. Anything I guess, in terms of a roadmap of what else to expect. I mean, you guys have kind of hinted at some stuff that might be coming, some good stuff, and really said we're going to focus on the cores. But any major announcement you want to throw out there?
Yeah, so what we can say is, you know, I think our core competency is going to continue to get stronger as you see us mature some of the products that we talked about. So that's our MB3 product on the consumer, or just kind of the single endpoint unmanaged. And then the managed side, you're definitely going to see us take some pretty big strides next year. With what you see with our cloud today, we do think it's world class. You know, with our anti-malware and our management console, you're going to see that escalate to the next level. So larger enterprises, more endpoint managements, and just a better package for those types of customers. On the technician side, you know, we do have plans, as you know, everyone has kind of probably read over the last couple of years, we've acquired a lot of technologies, and those are, I think, great for us. You know, we're bringing them under one umbrella, we're making, you know, better products, but it's really being a pain, I think, in the technician process and the IT admin process of having to run, you know, JRT, ADW, cleaner, toolset, and then Malwarebytes. So at least on the technician side, we're going to be combining those utilities. So JRT was fully moved into ADW Cleaner. So JRT is 100% no longer needed, no matter what you read on the internet. I was the product lead for that. So I can tell you with confidence, no longer needed. ADW Cleaner is going to be the next one that we roll into the tool set. And two cool things that are coming. One, watch for a new ADW Cleaner. Outside of the tool set, we've got some really, really fun stuff planned for that in the next, we'll call it 2 months. And then watch for us to enter a new platform that we are maybe not currently in today. Can't really share any details on that, but it's going to be super cool.
I'm going to roll the dice. I hope it's mine. I hope it's mine.
Can't tell you quite yet.
I know. I tried. Okay. Well, guys, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I know that, like I said, you guys have been just about everywhere, and you didn't have to come on here, but you did. I appreciate it. And I hope to have you guys on again, especially after I roll out the endpoint protection. I want to see how that works for me.
Yep. We'd love to join you again. If you've got another time slot open, we'll be available.
Okay. And do you want people to contact you directly? Do you mind giving out any information of where people can find you?
Yeah, we're always open. Is it better to share it on the air here, or will you put it in the notes for the show?
I have actually been putting together show notes. So if you want me to put it there, I'll put it there, and we'll go with that.
Yeah, and they'll you can email, text us, come to us directly, Snapchat, whatever platform you like to use. We're there.
Snapchat.
Maybe not late night Snapchats. Maybe like during the day Snapchat.
Isn't the Snapchat? Isn't that the kids thingies?
Sure, that is the kids thingies.
I'm sorry. So here's the thing. I'm not a big social media guy. I got on the Facebook a few years ago because that was the only way I could get information for a college reunion. I hate the Facebook. I'm sorry. I love the Facebook. but it's a lot of work. And then I just got on the Twitter because of this show. So at Podnuts Pro.
Nice.
Not fully active yet, but it's out there. So I'll be doing that. So the other ones I have not gotten involved with. So the Snapchat and the, what's the other one?
Instagram.
Yeah.
Sure.
I have no clue.
I've stayed away from Snapchat and Instagram myself, so don't feel too left out. Facebook, Twitter, that's usually where I stay around, and then kind of hang out on Reddit several times a day, popping into Reddit, checking out the latest stuff.
I can't do the Reddit. I do Facebook, LinkedIn, and I'm working on the Twitter.
Nice.
That's about it. And the rest of the time I'm working, so...
I know that feeling. Yep.
All right, guys. Again, I want to say thank you for coming onto the show. And for all the listeners out there, I hope that you enjoyed this. I told you I'd be bringing you some more interviews with some great partners out in the community. So Michael and Alex here from Malwarebytes, and I'll get you their contact information in the show notes. So going forward, if you have any comments or suggestions that you'd like to send into the show, go ahead and send them to me at marvin@podnuts.com. Be sure to head over to podnuts.com to find and listen to some of the other great shows here on the network. And you can also head over to the right side of the page there and donate a little bit to the show so that we can keep bringing you this great content. We do it free of charge, but we do have to pay for equipment, and I'm still hoping to get a producer and writer and things of that nature. And that's going to do it for this episode of PodNuts Pro. We'll be looking for you guys in the near future. And until next time, holla.
See you later.
All right. I missed it. I'll have to go back and get that. All right. So that is...
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast and owner of MRPTechReviews.com. Take a listen to all the great shows here on the PodNuts Network, and each week I discuss my adventures in technology, hoping to be able to help all of you who listen to my show. You can listen to all the great episodes over at PodNuts.com and subscribe to the RSS feed to download them directly. As always, thanks so much for listening to all of the shows here on the network, and we will see you next time.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.